For that, and
trust that you've had a great afternoon, and we thank you for coming and being with us. And we've got several visitors with us, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come and be with us at every opportunity. We don't take visitors for granted, so we're thankful that you're here, and we hope that we've made you feel welcome and that this will not be your last time to be with us. I'm finishing a sermon that I did several weeks ago. This will be part two. I put the title on the board, "It Will Do No Good." We live in a time when the vast majority of folks think that everything they do, religiously speaking, is just fine and acceptable with God. That's not the case, is it? And so our scripture reading, again, appreciate Ethan for doing the good job that he did in reading that, came from Colossians 3:17, where two general categories are mentioned. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do some. Is that what it says? Then say some part few. Do all in the name, or that is by the authority of Christ, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Everything that we do, religiously speaking, must be done by the book of books, the Bible. And I hope that we value the importance of that. It'll do us no good to live a life that we think is in service and pleasing to God if it's not according to what He says. I'll give you an example of that, a passage that you're very familiar with, and I want you to take the time to follow along with me. Never take my word for anything. I know you know the importance of that, and I just encourage you along those lines to make sure that you study after me and make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Bible. But in Matthew 7, one of the saddest occasions recorded in the New Testament, one among many, is when the Lord said in verse 21, beginning verses 21 through 23, and you know this well, I'm pointing out to you for us to get very plain in the forefront of our minds how sad it will be come the judgment when we've not done or said all by the authority of Christ. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say to me in that day," and the day that he's talking about is a judgment day. "For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" You know, a lot of folks think that they prophesy by the authority of Christ. "And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." These were religious-minded people, as indicated in the text, doing religious things or things of religious nature. But now notice what he says in verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Won't that be sad? The Lord did not even say, "I used to know you." But the text says that the Lord said, "I never knew you." And I don't know how long it was that these folks had been engaged when they were living the things that are mentioned in this text. Makes no difference. It was without the authority of Christ. And so I want to point us to some things that the Bible talks about that must be done by the authority of Christ, as all things must be, or it will do us no good. And the first one I want to point out to you is in the book of John chapter 4, and in verse 24, all of these I understand that you're aware of and you've studied and we've talked about and we mentioned and preached on. But we need to be reminded of these. I want us to get to thinking about the fact that if we don't do according to the will of God, it is to no good at all. In John 4:24, back up to verse 21 beginning, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Some versions say salvation is from the Jews. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must..." Someone's once suggested that the word "must," that four-letter word, is perhaps the strongest word in the English language because it is an imperative. It has to be done When God says something must be done, there's no way around it. There's no loopholes. They must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit does not mean in the Holy Spirit. Some think that, but the text doesn't say that. In spirit has to do with the right attitude. That you are focused at the task at hand when you are worshiping God. And a lot of folks may be worshiping with the right attitude. They have their mind fixed on what they're doing. They're keeping the things of the outside world from invading their mind, and they're thinking about the songs they're singing. They're thinking about the prayer they're praying. They're thinking about all the elements of worship. But then they may not be doing all according to truth. I'm convinced that a lot of people in the religious world today are focused at the task of which they're doing, but they're not doing it according to religious truth. And the only way that we know what is truth versus what is error is what the Bible says. Like in John 17:17, when Jesus is engaged in prayer to the Father, and He says, "Father, sanctify them through Thy truth." Now watch Him. "Thy word is truth." So if we worship God according to truth, we've got to worship Him according to His word. Now a very simple question is when we are engaged in something, is there authority for it in the Bible? That's what you've got to ask. Is it according to truth? If it's according to truth, then I can open up the Bible and I can read where they did it in the Bible. Or where the Bible instructs us to do it. Where there's an example or an inference or a direct statement or command where the Bible says to do it. Now if we do something that is without book, chapter, and verse for it, then guess what? It's not according to truth, and we best leave it alone and not incorporate it into our worship. Now I want you to think about a lot of religions today, hundreds, thousands of them, and they've gathered together on the Lord's Day like you had, like I had, and they're offering up to God worship, and yet they have put things, included things, incorporated things into their worship of which you never read about in the Bible. Can it be according to truth then? If you can't read about it in the truth, the Word of God, it'll do no good. Read the board. It will do no good though you worship according to spirit and it not be according to truth. You can't add to, take away, or substitute for it. Deuteronomy 4:2, Revelation 22:18 and 19. I think about the passage when the Lord said in Matthew 15:9, "But in vain they do worship Me." Were they worshiping? Absolutely. The Lord said they were. "But in vain do they worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." When the Bible says that they were worshiping God in vain, that means it was to no avail. You've heard the expression, "not any higher than the ceiling." It's to no avail. Did them no good. Get the point? Number two, I want us to understand from 2 Timothy chapter 4. All these are so very simple. Just about preach itself. It'll lather. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2. The Bible says, "Preach the word." You've heard that before, right?
I know.
"Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season." Let's stop there for a moment before we read on. I could not tell you the times that I've heard people talk about, preachers talk about, "Well, I tried to do a good job at balancing my preaching. We need balanced preaching today." And I understand what they're talking about, not all positive and not all negative. But I try to remind people when I have an opportunity to that the Bible does a pretty good job of balancing itself if we will preach the Word. And then I don't have to worry about is it positive or negative. Just preach what God says from the Bible, you see. Preach the Word. But as you think about positive and negative, keep reading. "Be instant in season, out of season." Now watch this. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now if you're thinking about positive and negative, you realize you have two negatives in that versus one positive. The negative of 2 Timothy 4:2 outweighed the positive. Reprove, rebuke, and then exhort. You see that point? It'll do us no good whatsoever Though we exhort, if we will not reprove and rebuke. And you can turn it around. It'll do us no good if we reprove and rebuke and we fail to exhort. We won't be preaching the Word if we do that. Come over to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. And notice what God has stated to Jeremiah as He's telling Jeremiah what he's to do. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Do you understand that from long ago? God has always expected in the Old Testament and the New Testament for prophets to speak what He said. And we're encouraged to do the same. Now, I'm not a prophet. A prophet is a person who received a direct word from the Lord, and whether it was a dream, a vision, so forth, and he spoke that word to the people. And sometimes he told about their past events, sometimes he talked about future or present events, and sometimes he talked about future events. But God always expected people to speak His word, not their own. And so He tells Jeremiah, I've put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. I want you to count the positive and the negative. To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Four negatives, two positives in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. Say, preacher, why on earth do you talk about positive and negative? Because there's a dangerous thing that's been happening for it's untelling how long, and that's the people, at least since the days of the Old Testament, and even down to this present time, that people want to preach many times, and people want to hear many times, everything that is positive and all smooth talk. Things that is just easy to the ears. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and in verse 10, well, let's begin with verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people that are going against, kicking against what God said. A rebellious people will not heed correction, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. A lady was not interested in hearing what God said. It's a sad state of affairs. When a lot of places folks would say to a preacher, don't preach to us the truth. We want to hear smooth things. Don't preach against false doctrine and false religions and denominationalism, and the list goes on and on. Preach us things whereby it's easy for us to accept. Don't get yourself involved in things like that. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Number 3. By the way, it'll do you no good if you don't reprove and rebuke. Number 3, it'll do you no good. By the way, what I say to you, I say to me. These apply to me as well to you. It'll do no good to have a Bible. Can you finish the rest of it? One of you already did. Some of you probably finished it, but you got a mask on. I couldn't see it. So. It'll do you no good to have a Bible and not read and study it. Most people have more than one copy of the Bible. One on the coffee table, one on a bookcase, or whatever the case may be. Some have multiple copies of the Bible, and yet they never find the time to pick it up and read it and study it. I've been guilty of that before. Shame on me. If you've been guilty of that before, shame on you, but we can do better. You say, preacher, I recognize I've not been doing it like I should, then do better. don't have to continue on doing what you realize and what I realize I shouldn't have be doing. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. When you look that word up, study. Not necessarily we think about study like doing homework. But it really has the idea of applying your mental faculties, giving diligence, applying yourself to read and to study. If that's not always easy. Someone says, well, I'd have to stay up late if I had time to do that. Well, I'll give you some advice a preacher gave me years ago. Get to burn the midnight oil. Burn it if you have to. That's good advice. Kids are put down for the night. I know something about that. Tracy does too. And it gets a little quieter at home. That's a good time to read the Scriptures. You get up before the kids do. Read the Scriptures. Unless you're like us and you get up because the kids made us to. But nonetheless, you read the Bible. We're thankful for them. In Ephesians 3 through 5. Paul received what he did by revelation. That means it was directly from God by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul would say, as you're flipping to that passage in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, for if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, I certify you, brethren, verse 11, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 10, 11. But in Ephesians 3 through 5, Paul talks about that he received this mystery by revelation. I wrote it in few words, whereby when you what? When you read my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, you may understand those things that have been revealed to Him. God expects us to know His Word. So important is knowing the Word of God that it is our standard of judgment come the great judgment day. You see, you're not going to stand or fall come the day of judgment by something that I've said, so far as me being an authority, because I'm not. My word is not what you're going to be judged by. You'll be judged according to the words written in this book. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my saying has one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John chapter 12 and then verse 48. And writing to those at Rome, Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 16, in that day, and again he's talking about the judgment day, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And over in the book of Revelation chapter 20, again a picture of the judgment. I'll read it all, but you do well to read 11 through 15, but notice what he says. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Now watch this. A book was open, he says. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And folks, if your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life, heaven won't be your home. But keep reading. He says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the words. He's talking about the books of the Bible. I know that to be the case because it harmonizes with all the other passages that the Bible points out by which we'll be judged. By the words that are before us. Those under the Old Testament will be judged according to those words, and we this side of the cross will be judged by the gospel of Christ. So it'll do you no good. It'll do me no good. Though I have a Bible, if I will not read it and study it, but also it'll do us no good to believe every word that this book says and not respond in obedience. We've got a lot of folks that we run into that, and maybe we've been this way too. And I believe the words of the Bible before I obeyed the gospel of Christ, for a long time before I obeyed. But I was still in my sin because I had not obeyed what the Bible said, though I believed it. You believe it. Now, church, I'm talking to people tonight who believe what the Bible says, right? But that doesn't mean that you've obeyed it. You got to do what He says. Like in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Someone says, well, preacher, I believe that. Well, have you obeyed it? In the book of James chapter 2 and in verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Well, you must believe that God exists. The Bible talks about that over and over. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1:1, and then He talks about God throughout the Bible. The whole theme of the Bible is what God has done to redeem man, is salvation through Christ to the glory of God. That's the whole theme of the Bible. He says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They believe. Now say, people today many times believe, but they won't obey. The only way that I can go to heaven is to obey what He says. Now listen, before we move on to our last point. Just because God conditions salvation upon doing something, and He's God, we're not, He has every right to condition our salvation on any terms that He wants to, and He has in the Bible. In other words, He says it is free and available to you. But here's what you've got to do. You see that point? I think about the walls of Jericho. God had told the children of Israel, I have given this city to you. But here's what you got to do to take it. You got to march around it once a day, on days 1 through 6. And then on day 7, you got to march around it 7 days. See that point told 13 times. But God had given it to them. But He said, here's what you got to do to have it. God gave us His Son. John 3:16. Jesus shed His blood. Matthew 26:18 and following. Matthew 26:26-28. The Holy Spirit revealed the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. God's grace by which we are saved, Ephesians 2:8-10, has appeared unto all men, Titus 2:11. But not everyone is saved. You know why? Because though God and the Son and the Holy Spirit have done what they have done, you've got to do your part. And that's obey the teaching of the Bible. You see. You got to obey it. And when you do that, that does not mean that you are trying to merit or earn your salvation. I don't know how many times I've been accused of people saying, well, that you're a member of the Church of Christ, that's a works-based religion. You're trying to merit or earn your salvation by works. No, we're not. We're simply doing what God said to do as revealed in the Bible so that we can be saved. See that point? Now, if I tried to do some work of righteousness myself, I could put together a small whip of cords and I could stand out on the parking lot and beat my back till the blood ran. But that doesn't mean I'm saved. Why? Because God didn't tell me to do that. God has told me in the Bible how to become a Christian, and when I do what He says to do, then I'll be saved. You see that? It'll do you no good to believe and not respond in obedience. Revelation 22 and in verse 14. One last point. Most in the audience tonight have obeyed the gospel of Christ. You're a Christian. But I want to point out to us that it'll do you no good. It'll do me no good to become a Christian and not remain faithful. You've got to be faithful to the end. A lot of people obey. A lot of people start, but they never what? They never finish. Isn't that sad? We live in a world where a lot of people believe in once saved, always saved. Once in grace, always in grace. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that we can so fall as to be lost even after we've obeyed the gospel of Christ. Come over, if you will. I'll give you one passage before we look at these others. It talks about that very idea. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Someone says, "Preacher, you can't fall." Maybe you knew more than what Peter did when the Holy Spirit gave it to him. Let's see. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before," he's writing to Christians, those of like precious faith, "beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked," now watch this, mark this next word, "fall from your own steadfastness." Now, can you fall from being steadfast? You sure can. Ezekiel chapter 18, 19 through 24 talks about that. The Lord said in Matthew 24, 13, "Blessed is he that endureth to the end." And in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and then verse 10, a passage you know so well, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Got to be faithful. Ask it. It's easy. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? You say, "Preacher, I believe it." We've talked about that. It'll do you no good except you obey. All things are ready for you to obey. Are you? Say, "Preacher, how do I become a Christian?" Well, you do what they did in the Bible to become a Christian. That never changed. In the New Testament, they became a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17. Believing it, John 8, 24. Repenting of their sins, Acts 17, 30. That means to change your mind about what you're doing. It's evident by a change of life. Turning away from the ways of the world and doing what God would have you to do. That's what repentance is. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Like the eunuch did when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Are you willing to confess that before those present tonight? And then to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and then verse 38. And then, like those who gladly received His word on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and then verse 41. They were baptized, and when they were, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the church, or all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you'll obey, the Lord will add you to His church that you read about on the pages of the New Testament, Acts 2 and then verse 46. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You're not being faithful as you should. You've fallen from your own steadfastness before God. But you want to come home, be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. There's danger and delay. Are you ready? Will you restore? Come, or will you respond? Come right now.